Okay. All right. Special guest, Alyssa Lang. Seen you at, you know, at all these SEC media days, and always, you know, you always got like a handler. I'm afraid to, you know, you got a bodyguard and all that. It's pretty cool, but
makes
ESPN,
you sound cooler than I am.
SEC Network. This is, I think, the most important question you're going to get asked the entire SEC media days.
Okay.
What is the best donut at an SEC town? Because I know you are a fellow donut
There's
connoisseur.
There's some lore there. Oh, man. It's been a while, honestly, since I've had some SEC donuts. I love Shipley's. Shipley's is always good, and that's all over the SEC. Yeah. It's kind of like a southeastern chain. God, man, this you really put me on the spot. I'm drawing a blank now for donut spots. But Shipley's, if I'm going to pass one, I'm going to go. So that's going to be my final answer.
No, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, I mean, going around to now 16 cities, which one?
Yeah.
Which one's kind of like you're happy to see on the list? Like, oh, I can't wait to get there.
On it, I mean, everyone will shake their head and go, of course, when I say this. All of them have their own unique charm and special elements when you get to visit them. I got to go to Austin for the first time last year for a Texas game, and it was awesome. I mean, going up and down South Congress on Friday night and eating out there, seeing the Texas tailgate scene right before you walk into the stadium really was like a bucket list item for me. So that was really cool. I would be really excited to see a game in Austin again. Obviously, I love going to Columbia, South Carolina. That's my alma mater. So I love whenever Columbia shows up on the list. Knoxville is one of my favorites as well. I really love Tennessee. I love the campus. I love the downtown area. Cruz Farm, not donuts, but ice cream, is one of my best, most favorite spots that I can hit. Actually brought my then fiance, now husband, to a Tennessee basketball game with me one year. I said, we got to go to Cruz Farm. He's not even a dessert person. He's still to this day is like, oh, when's your next Tennessee game? I'm coming with you just so I can go to Cruz Farm. So.
I am a dessert person. I don't know if you knew this, but I love Cruz.
So. It's the best. Oh my! I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what those cows are doing, but I've never had better ice cream anywhere. If that's or custard, whatever it is, it's the best.
I think it was added because it was 95 degrees outside. I was like, so the ice cream even hit better. Even harder.
Yeah.
So
I'll go when it's 10 degrees outside. Yeah. I don't care. It's so good.
Once we start talking food, I usually lose Shane.
So I'll me back
I'll
in.
Stop,
me too.
Our buddy Billy Lucci.
Mm-hmm.
He told me.
Oh no.
That
don't believe it.
He wants you off, and you've promised to be off the Texas A&M bandwagon.
I did not promise that.
Are you back
on
it?
Are you back
I just 5 minutes ago said I like A&M as my underrated dark horse this year. I really do, and it feels. But to me, it feels different, right? To say in the off season that I like this Mike Elko constructed Texas A&M team feels different from the year after year after year of the Jimbo Fisher Texas A&M team. And that's not a shot against Jimbo Fisher. It just there was never any proof in the pudding for us to feel that way, other than what was on paper. Last year, yeah, there were some low lows for Texas A&M towards the end of the year when they were so close to getting to Atlanta, and they didn't end up being able to do that. But there were some high highs, too, in a first year for Mike Elko taking over what he had taken over in College Station. I look at the names that are returning, specifically offensively this year. Marcel Reed may not need to throw a pass if he doesn't want to, with the speed on the ground that comes back for Texas A&M, not just in that running back room, but you look at a guy like a Terry Bussey and who they have on the outside as well. Marcel Reed having an offseason to prepare as the starter, which let's not forget, he did not get to do that last year. The majority of his fall camp would have been taking snaps with the twos. This year, he's taking snaps with the ones as the confirmed starter at A&M. I am confident in what they have in the trenches because I'm confident that Mike Elko knows what he's doing at that position. Torian York on the other side is one of my favorite players that I've ever covered in the SEC. You talk about one of the smartest football players you will find on the field. Torian York is in that conversation. Will Lee is back in the secondary. I just have a hard time looking at proven talent that is coming back. These aren't question marks like, oh, we don't know how this guy will pan out. These are guys that made game-changing plays last year for Texas A&M who are back for another season. It's hard for me to not buy the Aggies. So I forget Billy Lucci. Like, I'm all in on A&M.
Well, I wanted to ask you just kind of behind the scenes because everybody was excited when Texas and Oklahoma joined, but part of me was like, damn, that's two more teams that I've got to really know football about, especially week one when they're not playing each other.
Especially now.
Yeah. So when a, break me down on a Saturday, how do you get all your content? Are you just film study Monday and Tuesday, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I kind of have a very regimented week now at this point. So I have studio shows throughout the week, radio shows throughout the week, and honestly, it is a lot of film study, it's a lot of reading, but it's also, as you guys know, it's what we do all week long anyway. We eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff, so it's like having conversations just like, hey, did you walk the dog? Like, hey, did you see what LSU did this weekend? So I kind of start mentally my week on Sunday. So say week one is in the books and now we're getting ready for week two. I usually wake up to an email on Sunday morning for where I'm going that next week. So we usually have about 6 days heads up for where we might be going. You kind of look at the schedule and get an idea, but you don't know for sure. So Sunday morning, I will sit in my office and I have a big fluffy chair in my office and a TV. I have DVR'd every game, if that's still a word. I've recorded every game that the SEC played, and the first few non-conference weeks are rough. I will watch every game, sometimes at 2x speed, or, you know, hit the fast forward button. I will make a one sheet on each team for things that happened, important plays, players that maybe flashed that week that we wouldn't have expected to. Then we'll go through the week doing our studio shows. We will have meetings starting Monday for our game pretty much every day, whether it's with our crew, with coaches, with players. I like to get on the phone with players throughout the week to try to gather some stories and information. And you are really info gathering all the way up until kickoff on Saturday. We're having meetings on Friday, and then I'm running around the sidelines during warmups trying to get some last-minute questions into coordinators and things like that. Kick off the game, do the game, go home, watch what I can on Saturday night of the rest of the league, and then do it again for 18 weeks.
Last question I've got for you. I've got a 16-year-old daughter, Berlin. Yeah. Berlin, this is for you.
Hey, Berlin.
She was wanting to know how she, like, if you were telling young women how to get to where you're at now, what kind of advice would you give a 16-year-old?
I would say start practicing now. I would say that the reps are the most important thing. Just like any sport, the more you do this, the better you will get and the faster you will get better at it. All of us sucked our first time in front of a microphone. All of us were terrible. And the only way you get better is by getting in front of that microphone more and more and more. Today, with TikTok, Instagram, podcast prevalence, the more you can just hear yourself talk, get it out there, practice it, the faster you get better. And that's the most important thing. Saying yes to everything, anything that could give you an opportunity to practice your craft, even if it's not exactly what you want to be doing, say yes to everything, get your hands on as much as possible, because you never know how that could domino affect you into a future career or into getting better.
We've been doing this for years. I still feel like I'm terrible. But
you're on Netflix. What do you mean?
Yeah, so that was the last question I got for you. I know our time's brief, but what was it like getting to be on that Netflix documentary? We got to see the debut. It looks so awesome to me.
Yeah.
What was your experience with that?
It was really cool, and I know we kind of joked before. We both felt the same way. Like, you want me to do this show? And it was a real honor. Watching that first episode, I will say, my thought when it ended was, I can't believe we get to do this for a living. Like, this show that so many people are going to watch and go, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, we do that for a living, and we get to experience that every single weekend. So it was so surreal. If you had told me when I was starting my career in local TV that that would happen for me one day, I would not have believed you. So I will never not be starstruck by something like Netflix sending me an email. So it was really cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was great.